We'll get started. So today is November, is it the 16th?
Yes.
16th, 2011. And the lesson we're going to do today is lesson number 124, and it's called Working with the Active or Dominant Hand. So again, as I explained, kind of make your decision of which hand that you're going to work with today. And then lie on your back, legs long and your arms down by your side. And as we often do, begin to do a scan, noticing how your head is resting on the floor, how your neck, the back of your neck feels. Notice how your shoulders are resting on the floor. And as Jody brought up, since she's got some shoulder stuff, is to really pay attention at this point, really draw in your awareness to see how is it that that left shoulder for you is resting compared to the right shoulder. Does it feel higher? And that higher can be higher away from the floor as well as higher towards your earlobe. And then travel down each of your arms. So again, let's stay maybe with one arm. Let's just take the left arm for right now. So you go from the left shoulder down your left arm and just really noticing the left elbow, the left wrist, the left hand. What's your overall sense of your left hand, your left arm, and how it feels attached to your whole self? And then shift over to your right arm. And again, taking yourself through the very same thing, same process of awareness from your shoulder to your elbow to your wrist. And in this awareness, you really start to notice differences. Perhaps you might feel a tension or tightness around, let's say, the right elbow that you didn't feel in the left. But there's tension in, let's say, the left shoulder and not the right. And when we notice in this work those differences, the information is just so important, because as soon as you notice, that is the first step for things to begin to change and to learn something different. So the awareness that there are differences is really important. And then how much does that right arm feel connected to yourself? And now thinking of both of the arms, going back up to your back now where the shoulder blades are, how do those arms feel that they connect to the shoulder blades? So the shoulder blades are those triangular bones up there that you're resting on, and you may feel like you're resting flatter on one. You might be just on the edge of the other. Again, just to notice, because that's going to change throughout the lesson how that is for you. And then noticing your mid back, your lower back, your pelvis. And is there any sense for you that somehow your arms do connect to your pelvis? Or does it feel as if the arms are just connected up there in the neck and shoulders? And then notice lastly how your legs are lying on the floor. And now throughout the lesson, I'm going to give you permission to, if you need to bend your knees at any time and bring your feet to standing, you can do so. It's preferable to have your legs long, but take care of yourself. And if you feel like you need to have that change for your lower back, You're welcome to do that at your convenience. So you're going to bend the arm that you chose to work with at the elbow so that the hand is pointed towards the ceiling. That's it. So your shoulder and elbow are down and the fingers are pointed towards the ceiling. Beautiful. And you're going to begin to do a movement now with this wrist where you let the fingers drop and the wrist drop towards the floor, and then you're going to lift it back up again. And just do that motion slowly and softly. So one of the things you don't want to do is let the wrist fall, right? So it's a controlled motion. And I think of this for some reason as if you were going to stick your hand into a box to pick a Kleenex, right? So again, and go a little slower. So if we do this too quickly, you might fatigue your wrist. And in the background, as you're doing this movement, notice your breath and your breathing. Most importantly is that you are breathing and you just sense that your breath is continuous. Good. Now, as you continue to do this movement of just allowing the hand to fold, can you pay attention to the fingers? So again, you're not changing anything about the movement. You're just now drawing attention to noticing your fingers. Are they bent? Do they straighten? Do some of them bend or some of them are straightened? What happens just as you drop the hand and then when you lift it back up? What happens with those fingers? Good. And now we're going to do the movement just a little longer. And the next time that you bring the hand up to the ceiling, can you start to go a little bit further back? So it's almost like if you would open the palm up to the ceiling, something you would need to do if you were a waiter, something we need to do if we're going to be on our hands and knees. But none of these movements are forceful, so there's no pushing. You're just feeling, where can you go? You just let the fingers drop back and the palm is slightly towards the ceiling. Then you come back to the center and bring it forward. Really sensing the range, the quality for yourself. Okay, and just lower your arm down and let it rest for a moment. And bring that same hand and arm back up to the same position. And continue now the same movement. Again, not to let the wrist drop, so really control it. You're going to go the same speed, like if you were to give yourself a speed. You're going the same speed, lowering, dropping the fingers and the wrist as bringing it back to what we would call extension. And I would say whatever speed you're going, can you slow it down a notch? And then again, draw attention now onto the fingers. So are the fingers moving together? Do they straighten or curl? Good. Now each time that you're going to let the wrist, I'm going to say in a way drop, fold down, at the end of that drop, you're going to move just your thumb. So you just pause there for a moment. So you just move your thumb. It'll kind of be like moving it a little bit left and right. And then you bring the wrist back up and behind. And then you're going to fold it again. And can you just move the thumb in and out? And then come back again. So each time the hand is dropped, you move the thumb a little bit. That's it. And then you lift the wrist back up, let it fold all the way back. And now this next time, once the wrist is dropped, can you move just the index finger? And that movement is going to be a forward and back movement. So as soon as you bring the wrist back, fold it down all the way, and they're hanging. Now just move the index finger. And then come back up. No, we went from the thumb. And then back. And again, you're only moving the index finger when you're in the hanging position. And then you go back, that's it. So everybody's kind of at their own speed here, but keep it slow. These are very, very delicate movements. And then move on to your middle finger the next time. And can you notice, where do you move from with the middle finger when it's hanging? Do you move just the end of the middle finger? Or do you move all the way up by the big knuckle? Or do you move all three joints? And you can explore all those possibilities, right? Because there's times when you would want to bend all three joints. There's times you might want to just move from the knuckle and the rest of the fingers straight. Or you might just want to move the end. Right? There's a lot of sophistication here in the hands that we just take for granted. That's it. And now move on to your fourth finger, the ring finger. And again, just first, as you drop the wrist, you first just move that finger, noticing what do you naturally do. And then once you observe that, you explore for yourself the next go around, well, what would it be like to just move the end or the whole three parts? That's it. And now move on to the pinky finger, the little finger. And again, as you allow the wrist to fold or drop controlled, you then begin to explore the bending of that pinky finger. Again, is it at the knuckle part? Is it the end? Can you do all three parts? Good. And now as you continue to do the movement, can you think of all the fingers kind of coming together as the wrist drops? So one of the images we had in our training was as if you were going to dip your fingers into a bowl or a pot of honey, like Winnie the Pooh. Right? So you've got to get all those fingers like that, all the tips come together to let you dip the hand into the honey. And then when you come out and you take the wrist back, the fingers spread apart. And it's really fascinating if you can allow yourself to visualize the honey and sensing that there's honey on the fingers and What happens when you bring the fingers up and take them back and spread them apart? How the honey drips onto the rest of the fingers and the palm. Good. Okay, and let's lower it down and we'll take a little rest. And bring that same hand back up again. And this time you're going to just have the wrist bring it to that hanging position. Let the fingers hang down together, everything soft. And then you're going to start to turn in your wrist, and actually it's in the whole forearm, as if you're going to bring the back of the knuckles, the back of the hand, towards your face. So you start to turn. So you don't lift the hand. The hand stays down. And so the turning is in the wrist, right? You get, there you go. That's it, Rick. And it actually is all the way into the forearm. So you feel all those bones. So you just turn away and turn. And if you really pay attention, you may even just start to feel a turn in the shoulder. But for sure, you're going to feel it's not just about the wrist, it's about the two bones in the lower part of your arm. And again, notice if you're breathing, your breath. And it may feel to you as if these are such simple movements, but yet if something's a little challenging, you might not be breathing. That's it, Mary Lou. Beautiful. And now we're going to add in one other piece. So as you're turning those fingers all the way towards your face, your chest, at the very end, you're going to allow your elbow to slightly lift away from the floor. That's it. So as if the hand would start to float up towards the ceiling, just slightly. So we'll just, that's it. Start with a small movement. Beautiful. The hand turns towards you and then up. Beautiful. And back. And then raise the arm. So this would be beautiful. So these are actually all the very early stages of babyhood. Lift the elbow. And each time you can increase the lift a little bit. That's it. So eventually, as if you are going to really be reaching for something, but you want to keep the hand hanging. But just so you have a concept of where we're going to go. There you go. So each time, as the elbow lifts, you start to feel that the arm starts to lengthen, right? But you still keep that hand hanging the whole time. Nice, Rick. That's it. And you still continue to breathe and go slow. Right? There's clearly no rush to get anywhere. Good. And maybe continue a little bit more so that you're almost to the point where the arm is straight. So how can you straighten the arm all the way up, but you keep that wrist, beautiful Mary Lou, that wrist stays bent, but the elbow's not bent. And go down again. So it takes a little time to feel. Yeah. Beautiful. How to lift that elbow up without, you guys are moving so nicely. That's it. Good. So now this next time when you have the arm lengthened, we're going to stay there. So the hand, the fingers are just hanging there, but the arm is straight. So there's no bending in the elbow at all, but the hand stays hanging. And from here, you're going to lengthen your arm, thinking of your shoulder blade comes away from the floor and back down. So nothing changes with the wrist, nothing changes with the fingers, the elbow straight, that's it, Rick, but it's all from the shoulder blade. How can the shoulder lift and then go back? But when it lowers, the constraint is you're not allowed to bend the elbow. So how does that shoulder blade lift and come back to the floor? That's it. That's it. There you go. Nice, Mary Lou. There. And then really let it sink back down. Almost to the point, you're doing beautiful, that you could press it down into the floor. Good. And then the next time that you, after you lengthen, you really feel that shoulder blade is sunken into the floor, keep your arm long. And now we're going to go back to turning the hand. So you're going to turn the hand and wrist away from you and towards you. And with the arm straight like this, so the elbow is really locked out. Okay, it's really important to feel the elbow straight. Because then when you turn the wrist and the hand, you feel now it connecting to the upper arm. So the turning is inside the shoulder joint, in that ball and socket. So all of a sudden you're putting together the shoulder, it's the humerus, the ulnar, the radius, all with the hand. That's it. And as you keep doing this movement, just notice there's an instinct that you'll have of one direction that you turn, that you may want to do the lengthening that we just did, and that the hand actually opens as if you were reaching for something. And then the untwisting would be bringing the shoulder right back down and the hand going the other way, folding. So notice which direction do you feel like when you twist that maybe you would lengthen and that the hand would lift, the fingers would lift to the ceiling and spread apart, and then in the untwisting, the hand folds and the shoulder comes back down to the floor. Does that make sense? That's it, Julie, but lift the wrist, lift the fingers, remember? So as you twist to reach, the fingers now up, right? Because you're gonna reach for something, and then it comes back down. Beautiful, you guys. There's so many things we do this every day in life, like twisting doorknobs. And notice which direction you chose to do the twist and lengthening to lift the shoulder blade and to open the fingers. Just observe, because there's really not a right way, but it's interesting to see which way did you choose. Yes, and then you're going to switch to see what is it like now to do it the other way. It's kind of like when you go, have you ever gone to a door that's like the handle's on the other side or something, and it's like it feels so foreign to twist it? And so, yeah, you can switch. So if this is the way you went to reach, and let that shoulder blade, yes. So now you'll keep this down going here, and then you'll reach going here. Down, yeah, there, there. That little finger, yeah. And then here. And the more that you go the other way, you'll start to realize that both are important. It's just that we access them at different times. That's it. One is definitely more familiar with door handles. Whether you're pulling a door, pushing a door. Again, notice your breathing. That's it. Okay, and let's let all that go and rest your arm down by your side. And already just take a moment now to sense and notice that arm. And what qualities does it have now? What's changing? What's different about that arm compared to the arm that you haven't been working with? Yeah, and maybe let's do a little bit something for the back. Go ahead and bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. And go ahead and start to tilt your pelvis a little bit to flatten your lower back and then to arch. Very gently on your own. And feeling how your pelvis connects through your spine, up to your head. Good. And now let's see if you can straighten your legs again, and then once again bring up the arm that you are working with. Start with the elbow on the floor and the wrist hanging, and then you're going to lengthen the arm so that the wrist is still hanging but the arm is fully lengthened up towards the ceiling. That's it. Elbow locked. And this time you're going to now straighten the fingers so they're towards the ceiling, and you're going to lengthen the arm again as if you were reaching, and then literally drop the shoulder back down. That's it. You want to almost clunk the shoulder blade. So that's it. No bending in the elbow, no swaying with the arm. You just keep it completely on top of you, and can you just clunk that shoulder blade back? Just trust that it can drop, because it will. It's one of the things that will inform you is how much holding you have around that shoulder. If there's a lot of protection, it's hard to make it clunk. There. Not in the elbow. There. And once you get it, see if you can drop it quicker. It's almost, I think of drumsticks. So you're like bum, 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 tap, tap, tap. Don't bend that elbow. The arm's a stick. Tap, tap. So we bend the elbow when we don't have clarity with the shoulder blade. That's it. Now just do it faster, Rick. You got it. Done. There. But when we work with our arms a lot, we do a lot of bending in that elbow. There you go. Tap, tap. Good. Okay, and let's rest that for a minute. So before we go to the next movement, I'm going to describe it and see if you can visualize the movement first. I think that it will be useful for you to first think about it. So you're going to raise that arm again so the fingers are pointed towards the ceiling. but we're going to have the hand hanging as we did earlier. So if you can imagine, once you're in that position, that the head of the humerus bone, which is the top of the shoulder, right? It's like the top of our femur, okay? So it's a round ball. And if you can think that it's sitting inside of a semi-scooped bowl. Do any of you guys have like those bowls? They're kind of like pasta bowls or something, right? It's not a deep bowl. It's a real kind of shallow bowl. So can you think of that? That's how this ball sits in the socket. Okay, it's a more shallow bowl. Okay, and so what we're going to do is you're going to move the head of the arm, that ball, around in the bowl. So go ahead and bring your arm up. Once it's straight up to the ceiling, again, the wrist is hanging. And let's just start by moving your arm a little bit to the left and to the right. It'll kind of float over you and out to the side. And as you're doing this, think of it as like a pendulum. So as the hand and wrist comes over your chest, that ball socket, you're going to the outside of the dish or the bowl. And then when you bring your arm out, that ball is going to the inside part of the bowl. Is everybody kind of following me? Does that make sense? So not turning, you're just gonna hang here. You're gonna go left. Yep, so see how the ball is on the outside, and now that ball comes to the inside. And the ball goes to the outside. And the inside. How are those two directions? Yes? Good, so if we have those two, let's come back to center right over you, and let's do a little up and down. So if you take your arm up towards like where your head is, above your head, that means the ball is moving down, the down part of the bowl, right? And then as the arm comes down a little bit towards your belly, that means the socket goes to the top part of the bowl. And having these visuals really helps understand really what we're doing with the movement, yeah? Good. And again, yes, some of you, if you need to bend your legs, that's fine, or one leg, there you go. Now, can you come back to the center and very gently and slowly begin to make a circle? And I mean really, really go slow. Because if you go fast, you're going to miss out on feeling that ball moving inside of the dish or the curved bowl socket. And notice which direction you choose to start the circle. So as you're feeling the wrist and the fingers that are dangling make the circle, right? You're feeling down in the shoulder joint, you're actually creating a circle in the opposite direction. And that you can shift your attention from your wrist to actually going in the shoulder. Can you think of the head of the humerus making the circle, and that the wrist and the hand just follow? And then you can shift your attention back to the hand and the wrist making the circle, and the shoulder joint following. And really feeling if there's any areas, especially if you've had anything with the shoulder, any places where it gets a little jaggedy, it's not very smooth, it becomes unclear. And then somewhere along the way, when it feels the right time for you, to change the direction. So you start to go in the opposite direction. And again, really observe if there's any areas along the circles that, again, it might feel rough. For me, it feels often like a rough road, you know, when it starts to get bumpy and jaggedy and then it smooths out. So there's places where it's really smooth in the bowl and then it can get really rough and jaggedy. Nice. Okay, and let's bring that to a close and rest your arm. And now bring your arm back to the beginning position where we had just the elbow resting on the floor and then the lower part of your arm up. And we're just going to go back to some of the beginning movements of dropping the fingers down, bringing it back up to neutral and tipping the wrist back to open the palm. And just feel if anything's changed with this. Is anything different with the quality? Is anything different in which you feel the hands and the fingers? So go past the neutral, you know, like if you were going to be a waiter. Yes. Good. And now as you continue this movement, when the fingers are dipping forward, like to go into the honey, you're going to bring your thumb and pinky together to touch at that moment. And you literally press them for a brief second, bring them apart, and then lift the hand, tilt it back. And then again, as you're dropping it down, you bring the pinky and your thumb, and they press. The pressing is really important. So it's just a slight firmness that they connect. And notice how you feel that in both fingers. How the joints bend, what you feel in the palm, and then you release it and bring the hand back up and flip it back. And now to make it a little different, this next time is that you're going to have the, let's start with the thumb. The thumb is actually going to press now onto the nail of the pinky finger. And then you let it go, and again, just go through the entire motion again. But a couple times now, have that thumb press on the nail of the pinky finger. And now can you shift it to the pinky finger pushing on the thumbnail? So again, you go through the motion of dropping the wrist, the fingers, and then that little pinky finger gets on top of that thumb. Just a little bit more challenging. And then you lift the hand again. You just go through the same full range. Good. And now keeping the hand held down, bring your thumb and pinky together so you're lightly pressing them enough that, you know, somebody couldn't pull them apart, but you're not squeezing them, right? There's just a little, just the tiniest indication of pressing them together. And staying with the wrist hanging, with the three middle fingers, can you begin to lift them? So you lift and they straighten. And then you just let them soften and hang again. Not changing anything with your thumb or pinky, but everything is now with those three middle fingers of lifting to straighten and then letting them drop. And check in with your breathing. And now can you keep the same thing going on, but as you straighten the three middle fingers, you pull the wrist, you know, up to the ceiling and letting the fingers hang back. Never changing the contact with the thumb and the pinky finger. You go through the motion when the hand is hanging, all three middle fingers are hanging. Then as you lift up, they start to spread apart and lengthen, flipping the wrist back, and then bringing it forward again, and that they hang. And who would ever think finger movements would be, in a way, challenging? They take a lot of attention. And then fold again the whole wrist, let them dip down, let them be soft. And now to add one more piece, can you keep this movement going and then you start to lengthen your arm up towards the ceiling? So as you're going through this, you just subtly start to feel how the elbow lifts a little bit. And it takes you several movements, like 3-4 movements before the arm is all the way lengthened. And you're still doing the folding of the middle fingers and flipping the wrist back. And then when you're up there, you do the movement maybe once or twice, and then you start to bend the elbow back down. But again, it takes like 3 or 4 movements before the elbow comes back down to the floor. So you've kind of got multiple tasks here going on. Good. And then the next time, just taking your time, when the elbow does come to the ground, is you can lower your arm and take a rest. So everybody's in a different place. So whenever you are finished, you come to a close. And are you freezing? Where's your blanket? Yeah. And see if you can keep your arms down by your side and just really stay present. If you need to bend your knees and, no, is that yours? I'm giving you somebody else's jacket. I don't think there is blankets in this room, but I'll look. So try to keep your arms, try to keep from doing fidgeting with your arms. I know it's we tend to want to do that, but see if you can just really allow yourself to be present. You need to bend your knees and move your pelvis. Okay, and then we'll just do a little bit more here. So you're going to bend that same arm. I think it's warm today, but that's because I'm up here. There. So bring that same arm up again on the elbow and go back to the dipping the hand into the honey and bringing it back. And again, at this point, really, again, attending to the quality. I guess of all lessons, I can't express enough that in this work, it's quality. It's not doing things fast, it's not quantity, but it's the ease, the fluidity, the elegance, and the movement. That's it. And now can you add in, as you're going to dip into the honey, that the middle finger is the leader. So he kind of dips first up at the knuckle, and he kind of leads the rest of the hand to dip into the honey. And then they all open up and come back to that waiter position. And then, again, it's that middle finger dipping down, and they all dip into the honey. And then can you do that with your fourth finger? So can the ring finger, can he be the leader? That he pulls and dips. And literally you feel almost like he does. He pulls the rest of the fingers to dip into the honey. And then they all come out together and the wrist comes back. The fingers widen, the palm opens, and then that fourth finger takes charge and pulls them all down. And then let's try that just once or twice with the index finger. So once the fingers are back, the palms up, you charge that second finger, and you feel how he pulls all the other fingers forward. And then just shift back to all of them working together. And at this point, when they're dipping into the honey, can you bring all the tips together, the fingers? And then as the hand comes out, that they all separate evenly at the same rate, same frequency, the same distance. And then when your hand starts to fold down again, they come close together again at the same rate. So you really have to slow the movement down. And another idea now at this point is almost like the fingers are like petals to a flower, right? So in the beginning when it's like a bud and stuff, that all the tips of the petals are together. And then as you're lifting up, as the flower lifts up, the petals start to evenly spread apart. Good. And then one last movement to finish with is letting the hand just hang. And now with your elbow on the floor, is can you start to draw a circle? Just a little circle with your elbow. And again, notice which direction that you make the elbow. So it's the elbow. So think your elbow is going to move away from your body, not the wrist, nothing with the hand. But the elbow is going to draw a circle. So the hand is just limp. Change the direction. Yeah, yeah, of course. So you should feel in the shoulder moving, right? Good, okay. And then maybe one last time to do a few dips again into the honey of all the fingers coming together and then them lifting up and spreading apart. Just really enjoying the ease, the elegance, the sensitivity of this movement. Good. And then go ahead and let that go and see if you can, if your knees are bent, straighten your legs, have your arms by your side. And just begin to really notice now, how do you feel with that arm now, the arm that you are working with today? And how does it connect to the rest of you? How does that shoulder blade feel connected to your spine, to your rib cage? And is there anything different in your pelvis? How is that side of your pelvis compared to the other side? Or that leg, does it perhaps even feel longer? Right? Like thinking, well, why would that side of the leg be longer? We didn't do anything with the leg, but the movements in the shoulder are the same or similar movements to the hip joint. So we don't need to be actually moving a part of ourselves. to necessarily experience a change. And notice the size of your hand. How does it feel? Does it feel as if maybe the fingers and the whole palm is larger? There's a greater presence? So I would just encourage you from this lesson is just to see if you can take some of the now new awareness and sensitivity that you developed into how you do things throughout the day. You know, just even getting in your car, opening handles, doors. How do you wrap your fingers around the steering wheel? Do you grip? Or maybe you can have from this lesson a softer hand with the steering wheel. And then how do you, if you're like at the computer, right? So we did those movements of just moving the joints. And that's a fascinating place to become aware of how, like the middle finger in particular, you do most of the movement at the second joint. That's the one that you use a lot. And then the index and fourth fingers, we move the end piece for typing. But just to be in an awareness of hopefully a softness has come about where there's not a need to grip or strain to be effective using your dominant hand. And then let's finish by rolling your head a little bit to the left and to the right, and just noticing now how your neck and your jaw, even maybe your throat feels. And then as you feel ready, you can bring yourself up to sitting and then to standing and see how it's affected your whole self in standing.